Welcoming you to the third hour of our Palm Sunday edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here in Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pull up stream, go to the Animal World website. That's MarthaNorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon upper right. That'll click you through to the KKNW 1150 website. Click on Listen upper left and then Listen Online, and you'll be all set up to stream the show. And you can check us out on Facebook. Go to Facebook, search Martha Norwalk's Animal World, and see all the great articles, photos, videos, stuff that I post there, and all kinds of good stuff. Learn about wolf spiders and possums and tipples and all kinds of good things this week of the animals that are good for us and the environment. So we got another hour here with our most knowledgeable animal people on the planet. I think they know more about everything everywhere and a little bit of everything. I imagine there's probably not anything you can ask them about that they don't know something about. Anyway, majorly tuned in, and now we are connected as well. And that would be Merritt and Beth Clifton from animals24-7.org. By the way, that's the website, animals24-7.org. Go to the website, join the newsletter, and then you will get the newsletters about all, you know, the animal stuff, and you will know where to go to get the information you need about what's really going on with the situation. So, Merritt and Beth, gosh, what a subject. All of these traditions related to abuse of our animal friends and a stubborn human animals that don't want to let go of these older things. So what else do we need to cover related to all of that?
Well, in a way, it's a good news story. A fellow named Travis John Brennan, who is also from Washington, is on his way to justice in the largest ever eagle poaching case.
Okay, I remember.
He pleaded guilty this week after having previously pleaded not guilty. He and a colleague named Simon Paul, who's not yet been apprehended, who's still at large, are formally accused of killing more than 1,300 eagles and are believed to have killed maybe three times that many total birds of prey.
Oh, my. 1,300 eagles? Oh, my gosh. And that doesn't even touch the surface with other birds. So where was this guy, or is this guy?
He was in Eastern Washington. Eastern Washington. His colleague was on the Flathead Reservation in Montana, and they were basically running a mail order feather business where people would order eagle feathers for supposedly medicinal ceremonies or sometimes other birds' feathers, and they would go out and poach a deer and wait for the birds of prey to descend on the carcass and then shoot the birds, pluck their feathers, and send them off. And this went on for years before they finally got caught. One of them got caught. Travis John Brennan got caught at a traffic stop where the cop who pulled him over happened to know that he was not supposed to be in possession of the golden eagle feathers that were there in the car.
Well, now, and that's because, let's, in case somebody doesn't know, isn't it? I think there's a law that says we regular folks are, it's against the law to have eagle feathers.
Correct.
But Native Americans are allowed to have them. And
Under
it, again, it
certain.
goes back to tradition and the fact that now I personally, I don't have an issue with Native Americans being able to have the eagle feathers and for the traditionally, because the reason I don't have an issue with that is because of their general consciousness and energy is far more enlightened and elevated related to animals. In other words, they truly honor the animals that they eat or that they hunt and that sort of thing. And if they, the tradition would be to call up volunteers of the animal world. And I know I've watched that work on an energetic level, and there's something to be said there. But nonetheless, the law is that Native Americans, they can have eagle feathers because it's part of their traditional ritual, but not regular
Right.
people.
It also is under controlled conditions. If you are a Native American who wants eagle feathers, you do have to register with the Fish and Wildlife Service,
Okay.
and
You can't just go out and shoot eagles.
you can't just go out and shoot eagles. And there is federal legislation that governs that, and there's a procedure for obtaining eagle feathers, which requires establishing that you are, in fact, using them for a religious purpose. The biggest demand, though, comes from white folks who.
Right. So this Travis John Branson, he's killed 1,300 eagles and all these other birds of prey in order to accommodate the,
The
I
man
mean,
from the wannabe tribe.
right, that want the feathers for whatever they want them for.
They
And
want to play with
apparently
the
it's
Native Americans and
he's
not.
had a pretty big business, and that's going on. This is not someplace else in the country. This is here. This is in Washington and Montana and in our area. So, he's somehow he got busted for doing this and so forth.
He got caught a traffic stop, and there
Oh, and
was
that's right, and had golden eagle feathers
right,
in the
and there
car.
was a cop who realized that he shouldn't have them and asked questions about it. And actually the first cop found the eagle carcass not very far away where the was busted. So warrants have been out on these guys for years, and finally one of them was caught. The other one, Simon Paul, is still at large. He is yet been caught, and it's not actually known even if he is alive. He was on the Flathead Reservation. He no longer is. Now, I've got to mention, neither one of these guys is Native American. This one guy was a white guy that lived on a reservation, and the other simply lived in Eastern Washington. How they connected, I don't know, but they established a pretty good business for themselves doing mail order feathers. It's somewhat like how some people might do mail order illegal drugs.
So the Travis John Branson, is he incarcerated now? I mean, he did plead guilty.
He
Has
pleaded guilty. He's due for sentencing in a couple of months. I believe he's allowed to be out on bail pending sentencing.
okay. Oh, it says that you've got in your article that he's to be sentenced on July 31st,
Right.
2024. So this summer he's going to get sentenced.
He's
But the
officially.
other guy was, it was apparently his partner, the Simon Paul. We don't know much about that and whether he's even still alive, but he has not yet been arrested.
My educated guess would be that this is a plea bargain, and they're hoping that they'll catch Simon Paul and that the other guy will testify against him in that period of time, and the sentencing's delayed in the hopes of
That
apprehending.
they'll catch the Paul guy.
Correct. That's what we see a lot of times in wildlife-related cases.
But you say these guys are 3,600 birds approximately that they're responsible for killing?
Well, they actually are charged with 1,300, but it's believed they killed about three times more than that.
Wow. Wow.
They didn't have a good species inventory of what exactly they did have.
Well, but they do know that both of these men were majorly involved in this operation.
Correct.
All right. So, I guess unless I don't think there's much that probably we can do about this unless anyone knows who the Simon Paul guy and
Well,
wants to
you can also be alert. These guys got caught because there was one cop who was alert. If you see somebody who's a feather merchant selling you or offering to sell hawk or eagle feathers or feathers really from any rare bird, it's worth asking some questions. There's a law called the Lacey Act. It's been on the books since 1900 that forbids interstate sale of poached wildlife parts, or poached wildlife for that matter. And there's a lot of this stuff that goes on, and people see it, but they don't realize, they don't recognize what they're seeing. These are not the first guys who are doing a mail order feather business. They're just the biggest ones that have been caught so far. And by the way, the number of eagles that they are believed to have killed would have entirely wiped out the species 30 years ago.
Wow.
Fortunately, eagles have made a good comeback since then.
Wow. Wow. So if someone encounters someone that is actually selling the feathers,
That's illegal.
that's something that is not legal and should be reported.
And I also mentioned this. I actually went to high school with a guy who became an antique dealer, and he made a pretty good business of selling what he called traditional Native American craft things, which included eagle feathers. And he was passing off things that were recently made as being artifacts. Now, first of all, it would have been illegal to sell the artifacts. Second, it was illegal to sell the counterfeited artifacts. So he did end up in a very prominent court case about 20 years ago. But just because it's manufactured into something doesn't make something illegal become legal. If it's a poached animal part, it's a poached animal part, no matter what else you put it into, a traditional medicine, wall hanging. The so-called religious artifact, it's still a poached animal part. It is still illegal to possess, sell, or trade. It's sort of like elephant ivory. You may have your grandmother's elephant ivory piano keys, but if they're not registered as being actually antique, they are contraband. Elephants
Oh,
are
wow.
species.
Wow. So even if something's been in your family for a very long time.
You have to be able to establish it, and it has to be registered, because otherwise, when this stuff gets out on the market, nobody knows where it comes from. They don't know whether that elephant died yesterday or 100 years ago.
So I don't recall seeing something about elephants and poaching or anything coming through your stream lately,
Not
but
lately, something we've looked at a lot in the past.
so have we made any progress at all in shutting down the ivory trade and the poaching of the elephants for their tusks and the rhinos and all of that? Where are we with all of that?
There has been quite a lot of progress made. At the same time, there's still constant progress from nations that have elephants to be allowed to sell their stockpiled ivory from what's confiscated from poachers, from elephants that are found dead, etc. The problem with that is that you can't keep track of it very well. Excuse me. Once it gets into commerce, you can do some DNA work, which is slow and expensive, but basically uncertified ivory can travel a long way through a lot of hands, and a lot of money can be generated, and a lot of it turns out to be poached once somebody's apprehended with it and the DNA work is done and all that.
I know for some that just popped into my mind, so I'm just going to ask you about it because I remember a story here just this last week. Now, it didn't come through animals24-7.org. I probably saw it on my news feeds a few times, but it was about a guy that was arrested for breeding gigamongous sheep.
Oh, we covered that story. We
Did,
actually
okay,
did.
so maybe it was, it might have been you.
Yes,
Anyway,
we
this
did.
guy breeding gigamongous sheep in order to sell them to trophy hunters around that, have them a place where you would go and pay and then be able to go kill this big sheep and then put its horns on your wall or something.
What this guy
So,
did,
what's up with that?
well, what this guy did, a rancher in Vaughn, Montana, originally he was an elk rancher, breeding extra large elk to sell to hunting ranches. And they give the elk calcium supplements and all the rest, so they will grow much larger antlers than would ever occur in the ordinary course of affairs. There's a disease called chronic wasting disease, which has been transmitted mainly through commerce in captive reared elk since the 1960s. It also gets out into the deer population. It's very devastating through the animals. And because of this, Montana shut down the elk ranching industry for the most part, clear back in 2000. This guy continued to sell elk through a loophole because he was an existing business rather than a new one, and he wasn't allowing them to be hunted within the state of Montana. But meanwhile, he went looking for another way to make money in his ranching operations, and what he hit upon was to bring in bootlegged parts of Argali Marco Polo sheep, which are these giant sheep that live in Central Asia, and extract DNA and genetically modify sheep embryos, which are implanted in domestic Rocky Mountain sheep, and then sell those.
That sounds like a pretty sophisticated
It is.
operation to be able to get the DNA and be able to be breeding these
He
big
was
sheep.
obviously hiring some pretty high-powered scientific expertise, and
Yeah.
you guys have not yet been identified or apprehended. But the rancher himself has now been convicted of violating the Lacey Act with this very sophisticated, high-end, we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars involved per sheep that he could sell. But as smart as he was, being able to set up this kind of a international genetics transfer program, he was dumb enough to brag about it on Facebook.
That's what got him. But the reason that there's a market, a reason for him to go through all that sophisticated process to be able to breed these giant sheep is 'cause we do have folks in this country now, unfortunately, and I'm sorry to say this, but I think it's true, rich white guys usually that wanna pay to execute big animals as trophies and to put on the wall.
Yeah,
I'm
it's.
sure many of you are thinking of the famous one that but I just don't want his name in my mouth. But I wonder, what do we need to do to elevate the consciousness of these people? What do we need to do to get people to stop wanting to kill animals and put their ads on the wall?
Well, I'm a journalist, not a shrink. I report what's going. There's a lot of
Really?
stuff.
You don't have all the answers, Merritt?
No, there's a lot of stuff I report about that I wonder what in the hell is motivating these guys. Why do you want to have dead heads all around your wall? Does this
That's a good one. Yeah,
relate
why do you want dead heads around your
back to putting your enemies' heads on stakes around the outskirts of your castle? I mean,
Now, these are also very dangerous people.
yeah, there's the one fellow we reported extensively
A
about this
dentist.
case. A dentist from Pittsburgh who murdered his wife was convicted of it. He's now doing life. His girlfriend, who is a colleague in arranging the murder of his wife, is also now doing life. But they set it up to look like a hunting accident in Africa,
Oh,
a
wow.
hunting expedition. Yeah.
His
Oh,
wife
boy,
is dangerous
oh,
people.
he
Well, we need to catch up with advertisers here because we're kind of going over. So let's do that. And then we will continue with Merritt and Beth and But it sounds like we need to know more about what's going on behind the scenes, under our noses here in our own country. What do we need to be paying attention to and watching for? Because there's a lot of stuff going on. And if I wasn't on the radio in a relatively family show, I'd use another S word to describe what's going on. But there's a lot of stuff going on we need to know about. Anyway, stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
There is a horizontal world, and there is a vertical world. Living horizontally, our concerns are based in fear and survival. But then we hear a call to live vertically, to connect to our wholeness. Linda Rasmussen, with Vertical Energy, uses a process that helps you balance higher consciousness through your body. When you live vertically, you reap the benefits of health, peace, and clarity. For a free introductory session, call 206-841-1992.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior, training, or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Working hard to put a smile on your face. Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we are approaching midway through the last hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We heard from our wonderful Linda Rasmussen. She's our other neuroenergetic balancer. She does the energy codes as well and best therapy. And she is also here on the second Sunday of the month doing free remote treatments for you. So your regulars know about her if you're just tuning in. She is also a very gifted healer and can work with you in person at her office, which is the Intraspace facility in the old Rainier Brewery. Or because this is an energetic work, she can also work remotely. And she continues to offer a free session to any of you that I send. So I'm going to give you a phone number and you call or text her at this number and you can get a free treatment with Linda to find out what this best stuff is all about. And you can check her out. It's Linda Rasmussen. Her website is verticalenergyworldwide.com. Verticalenergyworldwide.com. And like I said, you can work with her at the old Rainier Brewery, the Interspace facility, or over the phone. All you got to do is call or text her to get your free session. And if you've been on the radio and had a session, that doesn't count. You can still have a free session with her off the air. So call or text her at 206-841-1992. 206-841-1992. And I just had a flash. Divine Mother's saying, okay, you're listening to this show and hearing about all this yucky stuff with the animals. You probably need a reset with Linda. So I think all of us need to call Linda for a free session after the show and get ourselves put back together here because the more we all know about these things that are happening with animals around the world, the more aware we can be and the sooner we can start putting a stop to all of this. And then remember, if you already live with dogs and you can't control them, they're barking like crazy or pulling your arm out of socket and you're walking around the the neighborhood and they're very reactive. Well, that's what I do and that's my specialty area. And chances are I can come and have that behavior under control for you in one session. And I always do a free, no obligation telephone evaluation. So give me a call. I'd be delighted to talk to you. And please write down my phone number and give it to anybody you know that's got problems or needs help with their dog friend, because I can help them quickly. And I always do that free telephone evaluation. And you can reach me at 360-217-7258. 360-217-7258. All righty then. We are back with Merritt and Beth Clifton from animals24-7.org. And holy mackerel, there is so much going on under our noses that so many of us aren't aware of. And bless your hearts for following all this stuff and telling us. But boy, I mean, you have to work hard probably at pulling yourselves out of a deep place a lot of the time, because, you know, there's just a lot of dark energy going on. And I was wondering, thinking about this when we were talking about, you know, the guy breeding those Jagmongo sheep and fortunately bragging about it on Facebook. So he got busted. But these hunting farms, they still exist in this country, right? And are they still legal?
They're still legal for most of the common huntable species. They do have to meet various permit requirements and so forth. And they are actually a bigger business now than they used to be, because as the hunting population gets older, the trophy hunters don't want to go to the trouble of actually going out in the bush and spending a long time out there. They want to fly in and pop off whatever it is they want the head of and then go relax and have a few drinks and, you know, sit in the jacuzzi.
It's called a canned hunt.
Yeah, it doesn't resist.
Yeah, I just don't get it. I just can't relate to that on any way, shape, or form. It certainly isn't hunting. And even if it was, they were really hunting, which sometimes I just don't understand.
There's so much emphasis on the costuming and the weapons and the vehicles and all the rest of that, that ordinary, you know, your average deer hunter can't afford all that kind of stuff. And to him, that's not what hunting is all about. The kind of hunting we're talking about, it's even a misnomer to call it hunting. It's really just shooting. You go to a farm and you shoot a pig, only you call it a boar. You shoot a cow, but you call it a gaur, et cetera.
Wow. So the guy that mouthed off on Facebook and got caught for breeding these big sheep and so forth, is that totally shut down? And was he the only one doing it in the country? Or do you know? Is there more of this going on that we don't know? Beth is saying yes with her head.
Yeah, there are at least five suspects that are still at large who have not been apprehended and charged. They're actually doing the genetic work. They may not even be in the United States. And again, the sentencing has been postponed till July, which I think maybe gives the feds the opportunity to squeak the guy a little bit and see if they can catch his associates. But this guy is also 80 years old.
Oh, wow.
80 years old. So, you know, he's not going to do serious prison time. They're not going to send an 80-year-old man to prison for the first time in his life. He might get house arrest, but he's basically, you know, he might get fined, but he's basically gotten away with it.
And I don't believe he's the only one. I think that there are other ranchers hiring these same people to do the DNA work.
Well, and those people, and I know that they're still looking for, and you said they may not even be in this country. Well, it can't be a bunch of dummies. I mean, to be able to do that kind of sophisticated DNA work, I mean, doesn't that require some serious education and knowledge?
Professor Moriarty syndrome. There's always somebody who thinks they're smarter than everybody else. And some of them are going to just do something to see what they can get away with.
Yeah. Wow. Well, we humans have a lot of elevating of our consciousness to do. So let's keep praying and doing our affirmations and our spiritual warrior affirmation is seeming more and more important these days, and that we need to direct it at these animal folks. So anything else along these lines going on in the country that we need to know about?
We circle back. The very first thing we talked about was a biomedical research issue.
Yes.
There's another one going down. It's the pig-to-human kidney transplant that was done a little over a week ago. The guy's still alive.
Okay, yeah, I heard a little bit about that. I remember I was busy at the time. I didn't have a chance, so enlighten us.
Okay. Experiments to try to transplant animal organs into humans have been going on for a very long time. You may remember the baby Faye case, which was just about 40 years ago, where a baboon heart was transplanted into a human baby who lived 21 days.
Right.
In the 40 years since that transplant was done, the maximum lifespan for an animal organ transplanted into a human has gone from the 21 days that baby Faye lived to the 59 days that a guy lived who received last year a pig's heart. He lasted 59 days. So we're talking about an improvement of 38 days achieved in 40 years of experimentation with all the genetic science added to it to try to do away with rejection. We're talking about host animals that are now genetically modified in almost 60 different ways to try to defeat rejection. Now, in that same period of time, human-to-human transplantation has been perfected to the point that you're talking about thousands of operations being done per year and a shortage of donors, a demand for donors that vastly outstrips the supply.
Right.
Well, one of the motivating factors for developing animal-to-human transplant is to augment the shortage. But meanwhile, there has also been a great deal of progress made in cultivating cell culture, human cell culture, to produce things like artificial skin for replacement for burn victims and so forth. So if you compare the amount of progress that's been made in these various different directions, trying to do animal-to-human transplants is like you're still working on the Model T in the age of the Tesla.
It's kind of like shouldn't we have learned this lesson by now that transplanting animal organs into humans is just not a real viable thing to do because they have not been able to work out the issues with rejection and all of that. And at best, 60 days, it just isn't worth it to the animals to human. Anyway, and then the great progress being made in terms of creating human skin and all of this from our own DNA and stuff from humans, and then transplanting from one human to another. Well, we know how great that can work and why we all check the little donor box on our driver's license to say we want to donate our organs if something happens, because that really is viable. Humans saving humans. But it's time to move away from animals saving humans on this level, because it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. And if you take the experiment back to their earliest beginnings, you may remember a fellow named Dr. Jean Guillotin, who is remembered for inventing the guillotine. Very shortly after he invented the guillotine, there were scientists lining up to try to transplant heads onto animals.
Oh, gosh.
This is documented as far back as 1880. Of course, it didn't work. But it's a direction of research that has really accomplished nothing. It even began to look like it was accomplishing something only after around 100 years of this type of experimentation.
Wow. So they just transplanted a pig's kidney into a human a week or so ago. I mean, what's going to happen with that? I mean,
we'll see how long it goes before it's rejected, but it's highly unlikely to last for any significant length of time. You can't blame a guy for wanting to live longer.
Oh, yeah, no, of course not.
At the same time, There's so many. The best way to avoid needing a kidney transplant is to avoid alcoholism, for example. I'm not saying it's got to be alcohol.
Yeah. Take care of your kidneys by what you do and what you eat and what you drink and all that sort of stuff.
You do what you can to stay in good health, and then the drastic measures won't be needed. But the other thing I was going to mention, if this stuff was all up to private enterprise, the investors would look at it and say, there's no chance of a payoff. This stuff only goes on because one way or another, it is taxpayer subsidized. You do have private companies that are developing these genetically modified pigs. There's at least two of them, and I think more. But they are doing it because there is a governmentally subsidized market, and the research and development is being governmentally subsidized. And all they have to do is raise the pigs. But if you had to go to Wall Street and raise the money to do this, or go to an investment banker, he'd say, you're crazy. There's a history of payoff.
So it sounds like maybe that could be a way that maybe we could help in some way, is bringing this up to our legislators that the government needs to stop funding this stuff. Because like you said, it doesn't logically make sense. And if it was being done in the private world, it had been kiboshed a long time ago. So we've got to quit. But I think, and I do think that more and more the government's waking up to all the things that it supports that doesn't serve a higher purpose, and we need to be changing. But change is hard for us humans, and many of us dragging feet and so forth. Looking at clock, and because we can't fudge with the time this hour, because Nathan will just kick us out of here at noon. You know, he's just not very nice about letting us go on after noon. You know, so we better take care of advertisers so we don't get in big trouble. All righty, we are going to do that right now, and then we're coming back. We've still got time with Beth and Merritt Clifton from animals24-7.org. And if you haven't been to the website, you need to go there now. You might want to make a donation to help them keep us informed about all this stuff, and get on the newsletter so you'll know what's going on and where we can at least target our prayers and our energy. But in sometimes like this, there's something we can do if we speak up. So stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 11.
Do you ever feel overwhelmed by all that's happening in the world? Triggered by people around you, what's going on in your personal life, or the shifting energies? Looking for inspired guidance? Need to talk? Natasha Venter, intuitive personal awareness coach and medium, can help by sharing insights, tips, and tools to support you through life's glitches and snags. Natasha helps you empower yourself. Visit Natasha's website, intuitiveclarifications.com, to discover how her unique skills and heartfelt, caring approach can help you. That's intuitiveclarifications.com.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude Ponton can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude can work with you remotely, office, or on-site if you live in the Seattle area. Jude can also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Real people, real life, real radio. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Hey y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we are on the downside of this week's edition of Animal World, but we're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And we heard the new, I think, Nathan, temporary ad for Natasha. You heard last week, if you were here, that she's changed her business name and so forth. And so if you are interested in contacting Natasha Venter for classes or help, she also does wonderful intuitive readings over the phone or Zoom or in person. And so you can check her out now at intuitiveclarifications.com. Intuitive. Remember, she was angelic before. Now she's intuitive. So she got dumped off the angel stand, but that's not really what happened. She consciously changed it. So it's intuitiveclarifications.com. And you can also just give her a call if you like. 360-770-7826. 360-770-7826. She also does a podcast through her YouTube channel, and it's been 4 o'clock on Wednesdays. And her YouTube channel is now Natasha Venter. Natasha Venter, IC for intuitive clarifications. All right, so give her a call or check her out online. Then check out Whispering Dragon and Jude Ponton, the wonderful healing center in her home now, the gongs, the acutonic forks, and chimes. You can see her spring equinox attunement on our Facebook pages, marthanorwalk.com. Or Whispering Dragon Center on Facebook. Excuse me. Website, whispering-dragon.com. Or you can pick up your phone to schedule with Jude if you like. And her number is 206-706-2836. 206-706-2836. All righty then. We are all caught up. And our last few minutes here with Merritt and Beth Clifton from animals24-7.com. And that's the website. And it's just like it sounds, the word animals and then immediately 24-7.org. Animals24-7.org. That's the website. That's where you can make donations to help pay for the wonderful research they do for us and keeping us informed on everything. And that's where you can get on the web, on the newsletter. So that you can get the notices as well. So we're down to our last 8 or 9 minutes here, but what else? What do we need to clean up about what we've talked about, or what else would we like to talk about, you guys?
Well, about 20 years ago, there was widespread alarm in Washington, especially in mountainous areas, about something called whirling disease, which caused farmed trout to whirl very rapidly and then die.
Oh,
this
I've never heard of that.
Well,
you said 20 years ago?
This is when it was first recognized.
Whirling syndrome. With trout, huh?
A farmed trout. It was all up and down the Rockies. It was in the Cascades.
Huh.
And especially at higher elevations, cold water fish. And the state of Washington, the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife, is still extremely alarmed about it. It still appears. Sometimes it has escaped into the wild populations. It's believed to be caused by a bacterium.
Huh. Well,
what has occurred with this very recently is it's been discovered among saltwater fish in warm, shallow water off the coast of Florida. This is a 3,000-mile jump and a couple thousand mile jump in elevation, and a significant jump in the temperature of water and the species of fish that are involved.
Because it was discovered here 20 years ago, and that was the only place they thought it was. Now it's showing up in Florida.
In the mountains. Now it's showing up in Florida among sawfish, who are part of the shark family. So they're not even, like, they're 265,000 or a million years of evolution away from the bony fish, such as the trout, the Arctic char, the salmon, that family. So something's going on here that's not well understood. The most likely mode of transmission would be humans moving boats or fishing equipment, because birds don't migrate in that direction. Birds migrate north-south. They don't migrate
east-west.
Birds, you normally look at birds when you're talking about a long-range disease transmission.
Right.
But there is no bird that migrates from this corner of the country to that corner of the country.
Right, right. So it would have to be boats, like you said.
Right. National Geographic did a segment just this week on the discovery of the whirling phenomenon in Florida. They didn't actually make the connection to whirling disease, but we did immediately, because I remember covering this and investigating it years ago, and it really is exactly the same thing.
Was it trout in Florida as well?
No, it's trout don't live in warm, shallow water in salt water.
It's
different as an environment as you can.
So other kinds of fish are being affected in Florida.
Other kinds of fish, but it's producing the same neurological.
The same sign or symptom or whatever. So, and what do? They just start twirling around?
Swimming in very tight circles very rapidly until they just exhaust themselves and die.
Wow.
It's sort of like if you wind up a wind-up toy and it goes like, you know, very rapidly until the battery runs out, and then it falls over. Well, you can't just wind the fish back up.
You'll have to ask Dr. Nils if he knows about this, because he's our only fisherman in the family. But he's usually fishing salmon and stuff. But has it shown up in salmon or anything? It has.
Yeah, the whole salmonid line of fish that were, you know, they're raised in hatcheries. It was a problem in hatcheries. It still is a problem. If it gets into a hatchery, you basically have to dump all the fish. You kill all the fish to get rid of the disease. It's not like you can give them medicine.
Amazing. Amazing. And so they pretty much established that it's a bacterium of some kind that must have been transported across the country in some way, shape, or form, probably on boats or whatever.
And now found in a sawfish, which is in the shark family. It's huge.
I just watched a video last night, must have been on Facebook, and it was, I can't remember where it was, but it was a, you know, sunny beach somewhere, and a big sawfish was up above the surf line and tipped over and partially covered in sand. And so this guy was, you know, hauling it out, dragging it by its tail back into the water and turning it over, and then eventually was able to drag it far enough out that, you know, it swum off. But that's the first thing I thought about when you said sawfish. I wonder, you know, if that could be a reason why it ended up on the beach.
Very possibly
could be some neurological problem. Things like that are believed to cause beaching in whales.
Yeah, it seemed to swim off just fine in the video, but it didn't last very long. And who knows what it did, you know, a few seconds later. Boy, I mean, that could be really serious, you know, if it affected, you know, the large fish in the same way.
Whirling disease, as we knew it, usually occurred in fry.
Of babies.
Yeah, very early in life. But the sawfish are, as you say, much bigger. It's hitting them much later in life, but it's producing the same symptoms.
Yeah, I mean, this fish looked like it was, you know, 8-10 feet long, and the saw, you know, on its face, that looked like it was 5 feet long or more. I mean, it was a huge fish.
Florida, right?
I think so.
And it would not have been recommended to put it back out to sea if it was whirling disease.
Yeah, of course, you know, who knows how it ended up on the beach and upside down in the sand.
And it doesn't affect humans. It's not.
It does not affect humans.
No, but they have recommendations for fishermen, as Merritt was saying, to not, if you see that, or actually, if you catch fish, don't throw parts of it back in the water, and they're trying to control it.
I would also mention sharks have very high disease resistance. So for neurological disease to be striking sharks is really very highly unusual. They have the strongest immune systems of just about anything.
Wow. So this means that this bacterium is a pretty powerful bug, whatever it is, and we need to pay attention. So, all righty. Well, gosh. Something else we need to pay attention to, and I'll definitely try to remember to ask Dr. Nels if he's familiar with it and so forth. But if you're a fisherman and you see something like this, a twirling fish, that's not good, and you want to get them out of the water and don't throw them back in. So it's a bacteria that obviously would be with that individual. And so anything else quickly we need to touch base on, or are we pretty good?
I guess we're good for the moment. There's always things going on.
Well, then we'll end with a little good note and talk about Henry for a moment. Henry's the rooster. And remember, our good news a couple months ago was this rooster had showed up at Whidbey and was wild, but hanging out in the city and all of that. And we thought we were going to get a rooster update and how wonderful he was doing in like downtown Whidbey or whatever and hanging out. But Beth decided to adopt Henry and bring him home. He now has a rooster condo that he gets put in every night, but he's been a little on the noisy side. Except today, I wanted to hear Henry. So what did you do? Hypnotize him or something, Beth? Because I haven't heard any rooster crowing.
We heard him in the background, but he apparently didn't carry all the way to the mic on the laptop.
Oh, darn.
Occasionally, he'll let me put him on my lap and he lets me kiss him.
Oh, how fun.
Hugging. Yeah. And other times he pecks.
Not so much.
Yeah.
Do you have other animals in your house? Do you have dogs or cats or anything like that?
Yeah, we're down to one dog and one cat.
Okay, so we couldn't just get you like a rooster harness and diapers and you could start bringing Henry in the house.
I don't think we want him in with all the electronic equipment.
Well,
I would
gosh.
Have a problem with bringing him in the house, but this I don't think the cat and the dog would be too appreciative.
Well, that's what I was thinking about. But anyway, it's just thank you so much for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. And I know they're not great subjects, but boy, we need to know what's going on so we can at least send prayers and shift our energy and report and be aware so that we can help start making a difference. So please keep up your great work. Thank you for all that you do. And we'll chat with you again about 11 o'clock on the first Sunday of April. That's going to be April 7th will be our next show. So bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being here. And tell Henry that Aunt Martha sends chicken blessings, rooster blessings to him. And next time I would love him to talk to us on the air.
Okay.
Used to have a cockatiel that belonged to a call screen and she'd bring her in and it would go right down to the microphone and talk on the microphone on the air. He was very cool. Anyway, thank you guys so much. So, yeah, I've talked our way through another edition, our Palm Sunday edition. So happy Palm Sunday to all of you. And next week, it is the last Sunday of April, and it happens to be, the last Sunday of March, and it happens to be Easter Sunday. But we will have an encore presentation. So tune in next week to hear the last healing show we did with Dr. Nels and Linda Rasmussen. And remember that if you listen along, you can just follow along with Linda's instructions and you can get a surrogate healing just by listening. So I hope you can do that next week. And then we will be back the 7th of April for Shelter, Rescue, Sanctuary, and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. So as promised, I think the weather is starting to lighten up and I think the sun is working on coming back out. So you now have Aunt Martha's permission to turn off your radio or your computer and you can now go outside. Well, you got to get to Animals 24-7 first and sign up for the newsletter or make a donation. Then you get to go outside and work for the afternoon. So Thank you, Merritt and Beth Clifton. Thank you, Nathan. Thank you, everybody out there. Have a great Palm Sunday and happy Easter next week. And as always, I leave you with animals have feelings too. So treat your animal friends better than family. And please always be kind to, open your heart, share your love with all living things. And we'll talk to you again next week. Thank you.